हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः ओम ब्रह्मानंदम परमसुखदम केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिम् द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यं एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधी साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
वी हेव् एण्टर्ड् इन् टु द टीचिङ्ग् आफ् The first prakriya. Prakriya means the method of unfoldment, and that method is called Drik Drishya Viveka Prakriya. I told you Drik means seer, Drishya means the seen. Seer also implies knower or observer, and seen implies the known, the observed. And this method helps you distinguish the knower from the known. It is very important for us to distinguish the knower from the known. Without distinguishing, discerning the knower from the known, there is no way of arriving at who, what the knower is. When I say we have to distinguish or discern the knower from the known, if there is physical distance between the knower and the known, then it is easy to distinguish. It is not difficult. Others need not, or Shastram need not come and help us. If there is physical distance between the knower and the known, there is no physical distance at all between the knower and the known, and distancelessly close the knower and the known, but still knower is distinct from the known. And because of the distancelessness, there is error also. What is the error? The known also is mistaken for the knower. Why? Because of the distancelessness. That is why we need to distinguish the knower. Why? Because we've been seeing our end. We should not forget Purushartha. We must be very clear about our end. The Purushartha Nischayaha being discovering the fullness, which is happiness, which is already there. And this discovery of happiness, which is already there as fullness, is in fact our choiceless end. We cannot leave it. We cannot ignore it. as I told you, is discovering happiness is mainly because I want to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody. This is our natural emotional urge. It is not a cultivated desire. When you want to eat, when you are hungry, you want to eat means you have not cultivated a desire for eating food or drinking water when you are thirsty. The biological, physical, natural urge causes the discomfort in you. As an expression of that effort to get rid of the discomfort, and you look for food, isn't it? Which means it's a natural urge, is different from the cultivated desire, which means which cannot be ignored, which has to be addressed. You have to eat. Maybe you can wait for some time, you can postpone, you can eat later, you can wait, you can put up with that problem for some time, but you can't just leave it as it is. You have to, sometime or the other, you have to eat and drink, appease your hunger and quench your thirst, because it is a natural, physical, biological urge. Similarly, I want to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody. This is also natural emotional urge. It is not a desire for you to ignore it, not to fulfill it. It is a natural urge, emotional urge, which needs to be, because it causes discomfort. How is it? Your very restlessness, very agitation is an expression of that very problem. Therefore, it needs to be addressed. Therefore, and that desire for that limitless happiness of wanting to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody is already there. It is something to be discovered. Therefore, it is a choiceless end. This is called Purusharta Nischayaha. I have to repeat every time I see you. And that happiness is only, this becomes discovered only when you understand the reality being secondless and non-dual. It must be very clear for you. There is no second thing. There is no other thing other than the reality. What is there is only reality. Only when you discover the reality, the fact about the reality, when the vision becomes very clear, you have discovered your happiness. You have taken ownership of happiness as your own nature. But for taking ownership of happiness, fullness, limitlessness as your own nature, for you to discover all that is there is only secondless, non-dual reality, which is a fact, is possible only when you understand that reality being all-pervasive. Without having understood the reality being all-pervasive, you cannot understand the reality being secondless and non-dual. So for you to understand reality being all-pervasive, you need to understand first of all what that reality is. Is it clear now? Three steps. Understand what the reality is. Only then you can understand the reality being all-pervasive. Second step. Understand reality being all-pervasive. You understand secondlessness, non-duality of that reality, which is the third step. Understand? In this, when you arrive at the third step, you have discovered fullness. You have taken ownership of happiness as your own surupam. Understand? Therefore, we can't leap straight away to the third step of, oh, all that is, there is only reality. For you to say, to have that vision, you should see that reality being all pervasive. For you to be able to see the reality being all pervasive, first of all, you should be very clear about what the reality is. And this is where, you know, this scripture helps. Science cannot help you. Scripture alone can help you. Reality is available for recognition only in your mind as very you. Very you. When it says it, reality is available for recognition only as very you, and you have to ask the question now, if I am the reality, if I am happiness and fullness, then why am I unhappy? Only when you ask this question, you come to know that you do not even know what you are, who you are. No, this is a leap, understanding one's own ignorance. Is it one's own self? Being aware of, becoming aware of one's own ignorance of one's own self itself is a good improvement, big leap. That is where the Shastram tells you, first of all, this I, this limitless non-dual reality, which is happiness, that reality is you. When Shastram says, you need to, that you means, how are you, who are you, what are you? It's available only as you means, I. Who is this I first of all? What is this I here? What does this first person singular pronoun I mean? And this I is actually the very knower. You have to see, I is available for recognition as the knower. And once you ask this, who this knower is, you have understood what the I is. Understand what the I means. And for which we started seeing, the known is always an object of knowledge. The knower is the subject of knowledge. The knower, the subject of knowledge, is definitely different and distinct from the known object of knowledge. We never mistake subject for the object. We're very clear. Therefore, subject is the subject of knowledge, the knower is different from the known, the object of knowledge. There's no doubt. And we saw last class, we saw the whole world is, with reference to every individual refers to oneself as I. Every individual, you, I, he, she, everyone in this world refers to oneself using the pronoun, first person singular pronoun, I. And when you use this pronoun singular, first person singular pronoun, I, from the standpoint of you, the I, the entire world of objects is what? World of objects. The entire world known in five different forms, only as five different objects through five different sense organs. Form, color, shape, light, sound, smell, taste, touch, rupa, rasa, gandha, shabda, sparsha. Five. What a big universe. The whole jagat, the entire cosmos is reducible to five fold objects. Therefore, there's no doubt for you. There's no doubt at all. Everything in this universe is an object of knowledge, object of my knowledge. I am the knower. Everything is known to me, known by me. Therefore, I am different from the external world of object. Nobody has any doubt here. Thereafter, we saw anything indicated by this or that, other than the first person singular pronoun, I, is also an object of knowledge, isn't it? Therefore, that is how we arrived. Anything indicated by any pronoun other than first person singular pronoun, I, is what? An object of knowledge. Therefore, the physical body, the gross, tangible physical body, is also an object of knowledge. We saw last class. I, the self, am the knower, distinct from, different from the known physical body. Thereafter, because it is an object of knowledge. Thereafter, we saw last class, five sense powers, the instruments of knowledge. Five sense powers are the five instruments of knowledge, known as Jnana Indriyani. Last class I taught you the difference between the physical part called Golakam and the subtle power obtaining located in each Golakam, which is called Indriyam. Remember that? Golakam, Indriyam. Golakams are all perceptible physical parts. But Indriyams are subtle imperceptible powers obtaining in these Golakams. So we saw five sense powers, Jnana Indriyani, seeing power, hearing power, power of smelling, power of taste, touch, etc. All of them are known to us. Your seeing power, your hearing power, your power of smelling, your power of taste, your power of touch, all these powers are known to you. Our subtle powers are known to one's own self, not others cannot perceive it, others cannot know about it. But still it is all known to you, known to one's own self. I know my powers, all every one of you knows, your own powers. Similarly, five powers of organs of actions also we saw last class. The powers of power obtaining in the hands, power obtaining in the legs, the power obtaining in the organ of speech, and power obtaining in excretory organ, power obtaining in the reproductory organ, the five subtle, subtle means imperceptible, but understandable, the powers of organs of actions, karma indriyani, and also objects of knowledge. You know very long, you don't need to simply accept because I'm saying, you yourself know. Similarly, we also saw five physiological functions. They're also subtle. The functions are very subtle. We think, no, really speaking, all the functions are subtle. Digestive system you can see, be open, but you cannot see the function, how it happens, what is happening. If you open and see, you cannot see the function. But when it's closed, you see functioning. Function is happening. If you open, you can see the physical heart, but you can't understand, you can't see through physical eyes the function of circulation. You can see the lungs, but you can't see the function of respiration. Understand? Similarly, all this, you see all the excretory organs in the body, but you can't understand the function of excretion. And you can understand them, you cannot see them through physical eyes. That is why we say they're all subtle. Understandable, but not available for sense perception. Therefore, they're all subtle. So, five physiological functions are also known to you, known to us. Therefore, I, the knower, am, I know. Do we need to ask anybody else? Am I? No. I know I am. I know I am the knower. How do you say? The whole world is known to me. I am the knower. The body is known to me. I am the knower. My physiological functions are known to me. I am the knower. Known by me. The sense powers are known by me. I am the knower. The powers of organs of actions are known by me. I am the knower. They are all objects of knowledge. Last week we came to the mind. The all old lessons. Where are we now? We come to the mind. Antahkaranam. Last class I just said, attention of the mind is an object of knowledge, which means the mind also is an object of knowledge. Which means I, the knower, am different from the known, anything known. Attention of my mind, where is it present, is known to me. It is present here, it is present elsewhere, it is absent here, or it is absent elsewhere, it is known to me. Therefore, mind is also an object of knowledge, we saw last class. Now, then I said, the mind is nothing but constitution of varieties of thought modification. Vritti parinamanam samuhaha eva manaha. Antahkaranam. I want you to understand, the sense powers are all called bahya karanani, external means of knowledge. Mind is called internal means of knowledge. Antahkaranam. Bahya karanam means external organs. Antahkaranam means internal. Organ, immediately think of something gross only. As I don't want to use the word organ also. Antahkaranam. Mind. We cannot describe mind. How exactly it looks, where is it located, we cannot say. Understand? But Shastram gives us a clue. Heart, physical heart is the golakam and mind is the indriyam, subtle power only. The power, mind is also power. Many thoughts are there, and even when the mind as a whole, now if you say every thought is mind, like every wave is ocean, every thought is mind. All the thoughts together form the mind, antahkaranam. And for our understanding, for easy understanding, we categorize the thoughts into four groups. I introduced these words last class. Manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha. Manaha, when you say mind, buddhihi, intellect, chittam, memory, and ahankaraha, ego. So what are these thoughts here? What are the thoughts which come under the category of manaha, mind? You say manaha, no, emotional side of the mind, antahkaranam. Emotional side of the mind is called mind, manaha. Intellectual aspect of the mind is called intellect, buddhihi. We are differentiating, that's all. Differentiation is only for our understanding, for the purpose of understanding. Then chittam, memory. Now, we'll see this. What is a thought? Again, thought also cannot be described. How subtle the thought is, indescribably, inexplicably subtle the thought. Even the psychologists, psychiatrists, nobody can, they could understand the mind, how the mind functions, etc. They try to understand, but nobody can actually picturize, describe what the mind is, how the thoughts are, they cannot say. So what the thoughts are? So in Sanskrit language we use the word vrittihi. Vrittihi means a thought modification. And these vrittis, thoughts come and go. Vrittis come and go. They won't stay permanently. Okay? Thoughts come and go. That thoughts are of the nature of fleeting, coming and going. And these thoughts form the mind. So now I tell you, each thought, I say mind is an object of knowledge, if I say, you are the knower, you are different from the known mind, when I say. I mean every thought which arises in the mind, which is part of the mind, which forms the mind, is also an object of knowledge. How to know that? Now let me tell you. We all talk about ignorance. Isn't it? I am ignorant of French. See, I know that now. Ignorance. Okay, I do not know French. Suppose you ask me, do you know French? I say, I do not know French. What does it mean? There is ignorance, isn't it? Not knowing French is what? Ignorance of French language, isn't it? Now, ignorance, suppose, do you all know Sanskritam here? If I ask, what will you say? If you say, some of you can say, we started learning. Generally, we say what? We do not know Sanskritam. Or most of you may not know even French also. So when you say you do not know ignorance, what is ignorance? We all talk about ignorance. What is ignorance? Where does the ignorance stay? Ignorance is in the form of a thought. Understand now? In fact, we want to know what the thought is. If you know what ignorance is nothing but the thought. This is how you have to understand the thought. Understand? Ignorance is a thought, a given thought. Ignorance of anything. Ignorance of physics, chemistry or languages or arts. Anything is, ignorance of anything is a thought. So all of us know ignorance or not? Tell me. Do we all know ignorance or not? What ignorance means? Do we know or not? Tell me. We all understand what ignorance means, which means we all know the thought, ignorance in the form of a thought. We do not know how ignorance is, but we know what there is ignorance, isn't it? If you know there is ignorance, that ignorance in every one of us is in the form of a thought. Okay. And what is ignorance? Then confusion. We all talk about confusion. I don't think there's nobody who does not know what confusion is. Because all of us are enough confusions, isn't it? So we all talk about confusion. Where does the confusion exist? In what form? We all talk about confusion, which means we know confusion, what confusion is. The confusion, that is why we say, if you do not know what confusion is, you cannot say, I am confused. Isn't it? Which means confusion is also nothing but a thought. Understand? Finger means this is finger, this is eye. Confusion is what? Thought. Understand? Much subtler. Confusion is thought. What is this? Finger. What is this? Hair. What is this? When you say, you can say, what is confusion? Thought. What is anger? Thought. What is desire? Desire for anything. Desire. Thought. Do you all have desires? Of course. So desire is nothing but thought. Anger is thought. Fear is thought. Fear caused by anything is thought. Anxiety is thought. Tension is thought. A state of mind is a thought. A state of mind is a thought. So, confusion, fear, anger, desire, jealousy, hatred, restlessness, agitation. You cannot understand what is restlessness and agitation. Okay? But you know, it's a thought. It's a state of mind. It's a thought. A given condition of the mind is what? A thought. Vritti. See, sometimes our people, when they sit here, they can't sit quietly. So, the eyeball movement can tell you how disturbed mentally they are. Okay? How agitated people are. This you can see. The eyeball movement you can see. How people are, when they get restless, they can't just sit. But you can see how thoughts are. What I'm saying here, which means restlessness, agitation, the state of mind, is as a thought. Confusion, jealousy, hatred, anger, desire, pain, my God, hurt. What is hurt? We all talk about hurt. I really am hurt. We talk about hurt. What is hurt? Have you ever thought about it? Hurt. Finger is part of your physical body. Hurt is part of your mind. Okay? Hurt is a thought. Guilt. What about guilt? So guilt is a pain. Hurt is a pain. Doesn't matter. Pain is a thought. But we give it two different names. Okay? Is it because of commission omissions on others' part or commission and omissions on your part? Isn't it? We give two different names. Is it clear? Oh, I have done it. I shouldn't have done it. Guilt. I should not have done it. I have done it. Is it commission or omission? I'm responsible for. Then you have this guilt. He shouldn't have done this. He should have told me this. He shouldn't have. No, then there's a hurt. So, doesn't matter. Hurt is a pain. Guilt is a pain. Hurt, guilt, the emotion, the pain. Then different degrees of sorrow, sadness, depression, feeling low, thought, dejection, despondency, despair. Now, all what? We talk about all these words. We use all these terms in our conversations. I tell you, all thoughts. Understand? Thoughts. This is my little finger. This is my, you know, index. This is my index finger. This is my little finger. This is my thumb. Similarly, they are all thoughts. They are all physical parts. They are all your parts of the mind. Inexplicably, indescribably subtle. You can only say you understand them all. So all these pain, sorrow, grief, jealousy, hatred, anger, hurt, guilt, confusion, delusion, fear, anxiety, tension, ignorance, all these constitute what? They're all varieties of different thoughts. All these thoughts together we say form mind, emotional side, emotional aspects of the mind. Now we say knowledge. I know English. All of you can say, I know English. I know cooking. I know dancing. I know singing. Like that, when you say, I know him, I know that person, I know this place. When you say, I know, what do you mean by that? I know is equal to knowledge of a person, knowledge of a thing, knowledge of science, knowledge of something. Now, what is knowledge? We all talk about the knowledge of people. Now, what is knowledge? Knowledge of anything else or what? Nothing but a thought. Understand? Knowledge is a thought. Please be very clear. Knowledge is a thought. Don't get confused, because you all have heard about one word, knowledge, okay? About the truth also. Now, I'm telling you opposite of ignorance. Knowledge. Knowledge is a thought. Antahkarna vritti. Clarity. I'm very clear. Certain areas I'm confused. Certain things I'm very clear. I'm very clear. Doubt. I have no doubt. I'm very clear. I'm confused. I'm doubtful. I have doubt. Doubt is also thought. Clarity is also thought. Confusion is a thought. Clarity is a thought. Ignorance is a thought. Knowledge is a thought. Lack of understanding is also condition of the mind, state of mind. And here understanding, as I'm teaching, as you're listening, perception takes place. Understand? Perception. We're all sitting here. There's perception of all of us, have the perception of all of us sitting and listening. Perception is what? A thought. Understanding, thought. Knowledge is a thought. Clarity is a thought. Is it clear? Do you understand all these words? We use these words. I am clear. I understand. I know. I don't understand. I understand. I am clear. I have no doubts. I do see. I do perceive these things. Perception is a thought. Understanding is a thought. Knowledge, clarity, cheerfulness. Cheerfulness, enthusiasm. What about enthusiasm? I'm very enthusiastic to do something. I'm not at all enthusiastic to do something. I'm enthusiastic when you say, where is enthusiasm? Where is cheerfulness? What is it? A thought. It's a state of mind. Enthusiasm, cheerfulness, clarity, understanding, knowledge, you know, all this cognition, recognition, cognition, then recognition. Today I know you. When you come next time, I will definitely recognize you. You will recognize me as well. So recognition, what is recognition? Again a thought. Cognition, recognition, are all thoughts. So all these thoughts, we say, constitute the intellectual aspect of the mind. Okay? All these thoughts are what? We say, form the intellect. They're all thoughts. Tell me now, which thought is not known to you? Your anger is known to you or not? At least after it goes, comes and goes, you will know. You may not recognize when it is there. Your desire is known. Your anger is known. Your confusion is known. Your clarity is known. Your understanding is known. Your fear is known. Your anxiety is known. Your restlessness is known. Your agitation is known. Your enthusiasm is known. Your interest is known. Your disinterest is known. Your fear, your pain, of course, is very much, very well known. Emotional discomfort, the pain is very well known. Which is not known here? Every thought modification is known to you. All these thoughts form the mind. What about memory? you talk about lots of things which have happened in your life. After, you know, many of you remember childhood days, youthhood day, you know, or what happened few years ago, or 20 years ago, 10 years ago, what happened yesterday, what happened this morning, you remember everything. Many things you might have forgotten. There's also forgetfulness, which is also a state of mind, thought. And memory, my God, memory is what? What is smriti? Memory. We talk about memory, I remember very well. I vaguely remember. I remember very well means, what is remembrance? Where is it? Where do you recollect all your old perceptions, old experiences? You know, many things you are able to recollect all your past experiences. Past means from childhood what you have been having. How are you able to do that? Where are they? Where do you recollect all your past experiences from? Memory, all thoughts. Understand? Thought. In what form is the memory? In thought form. In what is the form of the anger? Thought. What is the form of the desire? Thought. What is the form of enthusiasm? Thought. What is the form of knowledge? Thought. What is the form of, in what form does, you know, jealousy occur? Thought form. Understand? You cannot describe a thought. You can only understand these are all, what are all known to you, they are all nothing but thoughts. Antahkarana vrittayaha. Hated thought, anger thought, desire thought, or jealousy thought, varieties of thoughts. Now I say, memory is also thought. And now I tell you, the world is what? Knowledge, isn't it? The world is. The world is. Once you fall asleep, you do not know the world is, isn't it? In deep sleep state, do you all know the world is? When you are sleeping, do you know the world is? In sleep, there is no knowledge the world is, isn't it? But in waking, when you are awake now, you all know there is world, isn't it? The world is. The world is, the understanding is what? Knowledge. Is it clear? Now the world is. Now the world is, which means what? Is knowledge. Similarly, he is, David is, you know, Alan is, Jay is, you know, Eliza is, Roger G is, Sunilama is, Sunitama. When you say is, it's what? Knowledge of objects. Is it clear? That knowledge of objects is what? Thought. Is it clear now? Knowledge of any object is what? David is means what? We all say David is. We all understand David is means what? Then there is knowledge. David is means we all have the knowledge, what? Presence of David, isn't it? Knowledge is a thought. Similarly, knowledge of objects is name of ease, isn't it? Similarly, we say, I am. You don't say I is. David is means knowledge of presence of David. Is it clear? Similarly, I am. We don't say I is. I am. It's also what? Knowledge of existence or presence of one's own self. Is it clear? See, it looks very simple, but it is very important to understand. J-E-S means knowledge of presence or existence of J, isn't it? David is means knowledge of presence or existence of David. Similarly, I am means knowledge of existence or presence of one's own self. Isn't it true? Therefore, that knowledge of existence or presence of one's own self, that knowledge of one's existence or presence of one's own self, implied by the expression I am, is also what? I am is also knowledge. Is it clear now? That knowledge is ahankaraha. Do you understand what ego is? The knowledge I am is also thought. Very important to know this. The knowledge I am is what? Knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of one's own self. Knowledge of one's own self means what? Knowledge of existence of one's own self. Knowledge of presence of one's own self is also what? Thought. Is it clear? So knowledge of anything in the world is also thought, which comes under the category of intellect. And knowledge of existence of one's own self is what? I am is also thought. Is it clear now? That particular thought, I am, the knowledge I am, is called ahankaraha, ego. I sense. Is it clear? Therefore, these are all the thoughts. The knowledge I am is a thought, which is ahankara. Memory is a thought. Now you please tell me, which of these thoughts is not known to you? Which of these thoughts is not known to you? All the thoughts are known to you, including the ahankara. What is the ahankara? I am. Is what? The knowledge I am is also thought. It is known to you. That is why you say what now? I know I am. Isn't it true? I am. I know I am means I am is known to you. The knowledge I am is also an object of knowledge. The knowledge I am is ahankara, which is also thought, which is also known to you. If anybody says here, I don't know I am, who says here? Nobody can say that. Okay, now I tell you, therefore all these thoughts are known to you. These are the thoughts which form the antahkaranam. Which thought is not known to you? And you have to remember one thing. The knowledge I am, the ahankara, why we see separately? The knowledge the world is, the knowledge of anything, existence of anything in the world, the knowledge of anything is possible only if there is a knowledge I am. Without this one vritti, one thought, the knowledge I am, no other thought can exist. Any thought, the desire, thought, the thought in the thought as a desire, the desire, anger, jealousy, hatred, ignorance, confusion, fear, anxiety, tension, understanding, knowledge, confusion, delusion, clarity, cheerfulness, enthusiasm, memory, any of these thoughts, or all the thoughts or any of these thoughts can exist only if there is one thought always. What is the thought? I am. Is it clear? There cannot be any thought up after the thought, now I am. The thought must be there, only then any other thought can exist. The thought, the knowledge, I am, can exist without some other thoughts. But without the knowledge, I am, without this one thought, the knowledge, I am, other thoughts cannot be there. Which means you cannot say, no, I am not here. I don't think I am here, but my jealousy alone is here. Can you say that? I don't know whether I am here or not, but desire is there. I am very sure desire is. Can you say that? Do you understand what I am saying? People think it's all very, what lesson this is. These are all very important, basic lessons. You know what I'm saying? Therefore, now you can understand. That is why the knowledge, I am, is also a thought. Be very careful, clear. And this thought must be there, only then other thoughts can exist. In whose presence alone other thoughts can exist, in whose absence other thoughts also cannot exist. Okay. Whenever the knowledge I am, this thought is not there, what happens? Thought resolves. Thoughts are of the nature of coming and going. Coming and going. Where do they go? They don't die. No thought is destroyed. They rise, exist, resolve. Like waves do not die. You know, they rise, exist, resolve. Rise, exist, resolve. That is why always thoughts are likened to waves. But waves are very gross example to understand something much incomprehensibly subtle thoughts are. Okay? Thoughts rise, exist and resolve. How do we know that? Because in waking state alone, all the thoughts are there. See, experience of pain, pleasure, jealousy, hatred, anger, desire, all these are there only when? Only in the waking state. In deep sleep state, these thoughts are not there. Can you say, I had very deep sleep, but I had only one thing, desire. Anger alone was there. Because so angry, that anger alone existed even in my sleep. Can you say that? No. Anger resolves. Desire resolves, you know, hatred resolves, jealousy resolves, knowledge resolves, knowledge resolves, amazing. The world is, the knowledge resolves, all the thoughts resolve, therefore we say thoughts are not, okay, non-existent, thoughts are resolved in deep sleep state. You know why? The knowledge I am, that thought is also resolved. Understand? In deep sleep state, how many of you know that you are in deep sleep state? You are in deep sleep state. You are. You are not you are very much there, not knowing you are. What does it mean? The knowledge I am, the thought is resolved, therefore there is no knowledge. the world is, the thought is resolved, therefore there is no knowledge. When the thoughts resolve, there is no experience of anything. Is it clear now? There's no jealousy, there's no hatred, there's no anger, there's no desire, there's no fear, there's no confusion. No clarity also. Is it clear? In deep sleep state, all the thoughts are resolved, including the thought, I am. In fact, the knowledge, I am, that thought, that one thought, the knowledge, I am, that knowledge is resolved. Because one thought is resolved, all the thoughts are resolved. Therefore, mind is blank. Blank means what? All the thoughts are resolved. And that state is called deep sleep state. On waking up from sleep, you can say, I did not know I was. I did not know the world was. There was no jealousy, there was no fear, there was no anxiety, there was no anger. Therefore, you had a good rest, you were relaxed. After a good deep sleep, when you wake up, you are so fresh, energized. Why? The mental strain is not there. That's why rest, forced rest. Bhagavan has blessed us with the good sleep, means you are given forced rest. So why I am talking to you all these things? These thoughts are all there in waking state. In deep sleep state, these thoughts are all resolved. Is it clear? Which means, you know the presence of these thoughts in the waking state. You know the thoughts being absent in deep sleep state. Is it true or not? You did not simply blindly, mechanically accept what I am saying. Whatever I am saying is based on our day-to-day experience. Is it true or not? In waking, these thoughts are all there. In deep sleep state, these thoughts are all not there. Is it clear? Known or not? In waking, the presence of the thoughts being present in waking state, you know, is known. The absence of thoughts in the deep sleep state also is known. Which means, how is it possible? The known, thoughts are known. Because the absence is known. Presence is known. Presence of the thoughts in the waking state is known. Absence of thoughts in the deep sleep state is also known, which means thoughts are all known, which means the mind is known. Known means you are the knower, different from the known thoughts which form the mind. Blank, thoughtless mind or active, thoughtful, okay, mindful of thoughts or mind with resolved thoughts. Resolved mind with resolved thoughts means it's a blank mind. Mind with thoughts. Mind with resolved thoughts. Is it clear? Now tell me, is mind an object of knowledge or not? Hmm? definitely mind is an object of knowledge. Every thought is an object of knowledge. Every thought is known to us. You cannot, if you ask me, please, you know what desire is? Yes. Can you explain to me what desire is? Can you explain? Can you draw? Even in dance class, Indian classical dance, highly evolved, you know, expressions, there also you can only express the how a person will be in anger, you know, but anger itself cannot be shown. How the angry person will be, how the peaceful person will be, you know, except in our rasas we can show in dance. But the emotions you cannot picturize. Is it clear? Therefore, what I want to understand, all these thoughts are objects of knowledge means these thoughts constitute the mind. Please understand, I am is a thought which is a knowledge of existence of one's own self, which is ahankara, without which no other thought can exist. All these thoughts are objects of knowledge means I am, I the self am the knower, different from known thoughts also. Now the question comes, what is the distance between the known thoughts, the known mind and the knower I? No distance. Understand? No distance. There's a physical distance between the physical body and the mic. Distance between me, this body and that body. Distance between this body and the window and the wall. In between physical objects there is spatial distance. But to be frank, knower and the known, there is no distance between the knower and the known. This is the first understanding. But you have to understand what? Mind also is an object of knowledge, which means, what this knower I am? What this knower I is? I am the knower. Okay? You have distinguished the knower. I, first of all. I is different from the knowledge I am, different from the knowledge the world is, different from all other thoughts, that I am the knower. You have now, what you have done? You have distinguished the I as the knower from the known. Distinguishing the I as the knower from the known itself is what? Drik drishya vivekaha. Now you have discriminative understanding of I being the knower, and that knower I being different from the known body, mind, sense complex. Now the knower alone, what the Shastra says, knower, who to understand who the knower is. Now distinguished it, that knower, who that knower is. There is knower, you have very clear understanding. Who has any doubt here? Is there a knower or not? If you have any doubt, is there a knower or not? Knower of the mind, knower of the sense organs, knower of physiological functions, knower of thoughts, knower of the knowledge I am. Is there a knower or not? There is a knower, no doubt. You don't need to study the scripture to know whether there is knower or not. You already know. You already know you are. You already know you are the knower. Understand? Now, we take Shatmas, this reality is available only in your mind, means analyze only the mind. This mind itself is what? Always is a state of experience. Mind is of three states. Each state of mind is a state of experience. We say waking state of the mind is a waking state of experience. Dream state of mind is a dream state of experience. State of dream experience. Then deep sleep state of the mind, which means mind will never remain in only one state continuously. Mind is of the nature of undergoing these three constantly. There will be these three states of the mind. Mind will never remain only in waking state, only in dream state, only in deep sleep state. No. Why? That is how the function of mentation is. That is why we say each state of mind is where all these three states of the mind are mutually exclusive and they are discontinuous. Isn't it true? In waking, there is no dream and deep sleep state. In dream, there is no waking and deep sleep state. In deep sleep state, there is no dream and waking. That's why they are all discontinuous. They are mutually exclusive states of mind. But each state of mind is a state of experience. Mind is an experience. Understand now? Now we say, if each state of mind is a state of experience, how do you know that is? Because you can say, I am the knower, I am the experiencer. I know what experience I have. Which means, experience is, because how experience is? Experience is a proof, isn't it? You are the evidence, and experience is evident to you, and experience is there, and you are the experiencer. And the experience changes. Waking experience goes, dream experience comes, dream goes, deep sleep stay, deep sleep experience comes, and you are able to talk about the dream and the deep sleep state only in the waking, on waking up, when you have clear and knowledge, I am. Only in the waking you can talk about your deep sleep state experience. The experience is there. Because of the experience, there is also memory. You remember, recollect the experience and you are able to talk about the deep sleep state in waking. So also, dream also you have memory. You remember and you recollect experience, you talk about your dream in the waking. Isn't it? How can you talk about the dream and the deep sleep state if you did not have the experience? Can you talk about something which you have not experienced at all? You're able to talk about your dream and deep sleep state itself is the proof for what? That you had the experience. Which means they are completely different from the waking. Which means you are always there as the experiencer. Understand? You're always there as the experiencer. Which state of experience you are not? Tell me. You are very much present in the waking experience as the experiencer of the waking state. You are very much present in the dream state of mind as the dream experiencer. You are very much present in deep sleep state as the experiencer of the deep sleep state. Means you, the experiencer knower, who is different from, distinct from the known states of mind, states of experience, are always present. You are always there. The states of mind change, the experiences vary in each state of mind, but the experiencer, you, are one and the same. Is it clear? And who that experiencer is? In all the variable, three variable states of experience, the invariably present experiencer is you. Therefore, you are, you the experiencer, are different from the variable states of mind, states of experience. Now I tell you, please listen to me carefully. This is a mic which is opaque in nature. Why do I call it opaque? If there is no light, we cannot see this opaque thing. And this light, the opaque thing, you all know very well, opaque thing shines because it is illumined. It is illumined because it reflects light. Is it clear? The opaque thing shines because it is illumined, because it reflects light. If it doesn't reflect light, it cannot see, it cannot be seen. Is it clear? Now I say, this is shines. And how do you say that there is, this is illumined? Because you say, an opaque thing cannot be illumined if there is no illumination in this room. There is, the whole room is illumined because there is illumination in this room. Therefore, all the thing, opaque things, all the colors, all the flowers, everything shines. Now, because the opaque things are illumined, they shine. Therefore, what does it mean? There is illumination. There is illumination means what? How can there be illumination without the illuminator? Is it clear now? Therefore, you say what? There is an illuminator because of whose presence alone we are 100% clear. There is an illuminator. Illuminator is that knowledge is very clear. Because the illuminator is, there is illumination. Because there is illumination, all the opaque things are illumined. Therefore, they shine. We can see them. Is it clear? If there is no illuminator, there cannot be illumination. If there is no illumination, the opaque things cannot be illumined. If unillumined opaque things will be as good as non-existent. Is it clear? Clear or not? Which means, now I tell you, what is the illuminator here? Who is the illuminator here? Is there illuminator or not? Very much there. We say, the illuminator is light. The illuminator is light. Light does not do the act of illumining. Light is of the nature of illumining. Light in its mere presence, by its mere presence, light illumines. Therefore, in fact, illuminator status is only to the light, belongs to the light because of the presence of the opaque things. Is it clear? The illuminator is light. Similarly, now tell me, please understand. Once you understand illuminator is light, now you know what the illuminator is, isn't it? It is an equation. You have resolved the word illuminator in the word light. Illuminator is light is an equation. Equation means what? Illumination and the light are not two different things. Why do we say? If the light goes, illuminator also will disappear. There won't be illuminator. Is it clear? The presence of the light is the presence of the illuminator. Existence of light is the existence of the illuminator. There is no illuminator other than the light. There is no illuminator other than the light. Light alone is there, in because of whose presence all the opaque things shine. But from the standpoint of the opaque things, light is given the qualification, what? Title, illuminator. Title is given to the light. Is it clear now? For light means you resolve the word illuminator in the light. Now you say what? Light is the substance, isn't it? Now tell me, what is the distance between light and the opaque thing? What is the distance? There is no distance between the illuminator light and the illumined opaque thing. Similarly, now we tell you, this knower I, there is no distance between the knower I and the known thoughts. This knower I, knower is none other than pure consciousness. Knower is pure consciousness. When I say illuminator is light, gross example. When I say there is no knower, there is no experiencer other than consciousness. Knower, experiencer, observer, etc. are only a status, title given to the consciousness in the presence of thoughts. With reference to thoughts. With reference to opaque things, illuminator status title is given to, you know, given to consciousness. With reference to thoughts, illuminator of thoughts is this I. There is no I other than consciousness. There is no knower other than consciousness. I, the knower, am consciousness. Or you can say, I, the knower, is consciousness. Illuminator is light, knower I is consciousness. When you say, knower is consciousness, you mean to say, I is consciousness. which means you are resolving the knower in consciousness. Resolving means what? Not physically or not doing anything, cognitively, intellectually. Okay, you're resolving it, which means there is no such, when I say resolving, illuminator in the light, intellectually, cognitive resolution of illuminator in the light means understanding the fact illuminator is none other than light. There is no such a thing called illuminator at all. There is no illuminator. Please understand, there is no illuminator. There is only light. What is illuminator then? It is only a status, the title given to the light with reference to the opaque things which shine in the presence of the light. Is it clear? You use the word no illuminator only to stumble upon, arrive at cognitively what the substance called light means. Once you arrive at it, you have to say what? Just the light is, in the presence of light, opaque things shine. There is no illuminator other than the light. Illuminator is light. What is illumination? Is light. Is it clear? First, this one level is enough. The other things we'll see later on. First step is enough. The next steps are there, very interesting steps. This is a good thing. Is it clear? Similarly, what is knower is? You distinguish the knower, then resolve the knower in consciousness. There is no I other than the knower. Okay? There is no knower other than consciousness. Knower is consciousness. When I say you are resolving cognitively the knower in consciousness, why? Because consciousness and knower are not two different things. Just as minus light, there cannot be the status called illuminator. Minus consciousness, there cannot be a status called knower. Therefore, knower is consciousness. You are using this word knower. From with reference to the known, there is a knower. And that knower, if you ask who this knower is, you are supposed to arrive at, stumble upon cognitively the consciousness. Then you resolve the knower in consciousness. There is no knower other than consciousness. It is just a status with reference to thoughts. Consciousness with reference to thoughts is given the title knower. Is it clear? Knower is consciousness. So this, what you have understood now, mind also is not I. I, the substance of the substantive, wave is H2O. Substance of the substantive, I, is equal to consciousness. Okay? Therefore, I, the self, am consciousness. Different from, distinct from the known body, mind, sense complex, but not physically distensible from anything. Non-distensible physically from anything. Now, you understand only this much today. And what is the next step? How this consciousness, what this consciousness is all about? Understand what this, how and what this consciousness is. what is the nature of this consciousness. When you understand, you will have two more stages of understanding, which will become clearer, and the clarity of which will be enhancing the more you study text after text after text after text. The same thing you'll be studying, you will see subtle aids of vagueness will go, your clarity will be enhancing. You only distinguished it, you have not yet understood everything. What this consciousness is all about. Again we'll see. There's no way of arriving at the meaning of this term consciousness, except understanding what the knower. I want all of you to say 9 times some small mantra, just for Devi to bless you all with this clear mind and clarity of understanding. Okay. Om Shri Durgayai Namaha.
Om Shri Durgayai Namaha.
Om Shri Durgayai Namaha.
Om
Shri Durgayai Namaha. Om Shri Durgayai Namaha. Shri Durgayai Namaha. Om Shri Durgayai Namaha.
Om
Shri Durgayai Namaha. Om Shri Durgayai Namaha.
Om
Shri Durgayai Namaha. Om Shri Durgayai Namaha.
Om Shri
Durgayai Namaha. Om Shri Durgayai Namaha.
Om
Shri Durgayai Namaha. Om Shri Durgayai Namaha.
Om Shri Durgayai Namaha.
Om Shri Durgayai Namaha.
Om
Shri Durgayai Namaha. Om Shri Durgayai Namaha.
Om Shri Durgayai Namaha.
Om Shri.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.